Let's talk a little baseball. Dayton Moore, Royals general manager, with us here on 610 Sports Radio. Dayton, good morning, and appreciate you joining us today. How did you feel the trade deadline went down for you guys?
Well, it was, I will say this, Bob. It was certainly a lot more active. There were a lot of players, as we found out, that were on the market being discussed, and you know, it made it kind of a little different in terms that, you know, the Jorge Soler deal came together really kind of just at the last minute. And, you know, we were certainly prepared because we knew the Braves had some interest, but, you know, they were filtering through a lot of different things and we were just kind of playing the waiting game. But at the end of the day, it all worked out. And, you know, it was just a very active deadline.
Was there any moves that you thought you were close to making that didn't pan out, that didn't turn out, that you're like, man, we were this close to getting something else done too?
You know, we were expecting, you know, a club or two to be really aggressive at the end with some of our players that were not on expiring contracts. I mean, some of our guys that – you know, we have under control that have a lot of value. And of course, you know, we knew that the Cubs were actively trying to move, you know, Rizzo and Bryant and Baez and some of those guys kind of matched up with some of our players, again, that we had under control. And so, you know, we were fully expecting someone to come hard at one of our guys, but as we all found out, those three players that I mentioned with the Cubs were moved in rather big deals, and so we never really got the just hard push, if you will, there at the end.
It was a busy, frantic day. You mentioned the Cubs. Obviously, some big names got moved. There seemed to be a feel like, wow, this was good for baseball to have this kind of day. How do you feel overall a busy trade deadline is in terms of good or bad for the sport?
You know, I think it's always good to, you know, to be discussing, you know, the game and ways that can improve your franchise. And, you know, sometimes, you know, a lot of the different noise and opinions can just be a distraction. I think we've learned over time not to get caught up into that a whole lot. You can only execute deals that are available to you. You can't force deals. And certainly, you know, with the way the structures of all 30 teams are, with only having 180 players under control, you know, prospect deals, especially players that maybe are, you know, kind of a throw-in type player in a deal, I mean, those are probably going to go away for a lot of reasons, especially with teams that have, you know, pretty strong farm systems. You don't want to just add a player or two, unless they are clearly a part of your top 20, top 30 prospects, because now you're blocking the path of somebody else. So, you know, the days of taking a player or two way down low and giving them a lot of time and you know, they may have a really good working arm or a fast arm and you know it's going to take a little time, you know, those days are probably over somewhat because, again, you don't have the opportunity to be as patient as you once were.
Talking with Dayton Moore, Royals general manager here on 610 Sports Radio. The last month for Keller has been awesome, and then yesterday he's got to leave early with some back tightness. What's the latest on him?
You know, I talked to Nick Kenny last night once the team landed in Chicago, and Nick felt he's going to be fine for his next start. Of course, you know, once he begins that preparation leading up to his next start, I mean, we'll find out more, but all, you know, early indication, Bob, is that he's going to be okay.
What about Singer? Are you expecting him back sometime soon?
I hope so. I mean, he's going to make another rehab assignment in Omaha. And, you know, we were just very cautious with him. You know, he's kind of in uncharted waters with regard to the workload. And so we're trying to be just very, very cautious, making sure that you know, he doesn't go out there unnecessarily and he's already fatigued, and when that happens, when a pitcher or a player is fatigued and you're asking to compete at the highest level, I mean, that's when injuries can occur. So, you know, we're trying to to be very cautious there.
We're chatting with Royals general manager Dayton Moore. Certainly, we've been all anxiously watching the progression of Bobby Witt Jr. and Nick Prado, and from Double A to Triple A, and seemingly they're both performing very, very well at both levels. So what's the next step?
They're doing great. I mean, they just need to continue to do what they're doing. You know, as I was talking to, you know, JJ and Lonnie and Rene Francisco, during the draft. I mean, you know, we look back on the progression of Hosmer, Moustakas, and Salvador Perez, and how much time they spent in Double A and Triple A. You know, it's all different for everybody. But you know, when you look at, you know, those guys have moved pretty fast. I mean, they didn't even have a full year in Double A, and you know, that's the level where, in my opinion, you want to have guys, you know, spend an entire year. Then once you get to Triple A, they really have an opportunity to force their hand. And so, you know, obviously they've went to Omaha. They've done extremely well. I think they fared well in the futures game. They represented well. I heard from a lot of people in baseball who were in attendance, and just their presence and the way they dealt with, you know, their teammates in the clubhouse, and dealt with the members of the media and all the different personnel of Major League Baseball. I mean, from a maturity level, those two guys really, really get it. And so, you know, we'll just continue to watch how they progress, and we'll see, you know, what, you know, the rest of the year brings us. And certainly as we go into 2022, I mean, they're a big part of our future. And it's just like I told a player 2 days ago in our minor league system. I mean, it is a huge, huge gap between AAA and the major leagues. And it's we just want to make sure that players are ready to come up here and compete right away and do things to help us win. And the beauty about the skill set of those two players is, you know, if they're struggling a little bit offensively, they still do some things, whether it be on the bases or defensively, that is somewhat elite, that can help a major league team win. And so as they're continuing to be well-balanced in all the different areas, all the different skill levels that are required to be a consistent major league player, and that's going to continue to shape and mold at the major league level, but they can still do some things on an elite level if they're not as complete as they need to be. But as you all know, I mean, it's you want to make sure that they're certainly ready to help us win when their time comes to come to the major leagues.
Dayton, I want to play a little game with you. It's called Tell Bob Why He's Wrong, okay? Are you ready for
oh,
this?
Oh, wow. Can I jump? God, I love this game.
Yeah, this, all right. So you're the first.
I don't know if I'd be too. Go ahead.
No, you're the first contestant on Tell Bob Why He's Wrong. I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, with 2022 being what you've talked about, hey, it's time to compete, it's time to win, it's time to go to the playoffs, why not bring these young guys up for the rest of 2021, whether it's Asa Lacy or Jackson Coar or Bobby Witt Jr. or Nick Prado, just bring all those guys up for the last 2 months and let them cut their teeth for the rest of this year, so when we hit next year, boom, we're ready to go and there's no, like, getting used to the big league level.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Bob, with that question, and it is certainly a good question. And
thank you.
I think with, yeah, there you go. And I think, you know, what we rely on simply is, you know, our evaluators, our coaches, people within our front office that say, hey, they're ready for the major leagues. And if they're ready for the major leagues, then you look to create that opportunity. But I think in a lot of those players that you mentioned, I mean, they're just not quite ready yet. I mean, there just needs to be more of a history of success, just more at-bats, more innings pitched. And certainly with the long layoff from last year and the unconventional, you know, pattern which we experienced with COVID, you know, we're just going to be real, real conservative with these guys right now.
With Danny Duffy being traded, was that a hard move for you to do, being that he's been here forever?
Well, there's an emotional attachment, as we all know, that's for sure. But, you know, I began talking to Danny prior to the All-Star break, you know, talking to him about some different clubs that had some interest in him. It was very clear in talking to him that, you know, if he was moved, that he wanted to be on the West Coast. You know, the Dodgers were appealing to him. You know, at the end of the day, because of Danny's elbow issue and his IL placement, there certainly was not a lot of takers, and we understand why. And so the Dodgers were willing to do a small deal, and I think it worked out in the sense that I think it's going to be really good for Danny. Hopefully, you know, he comes back and pitches well, and if that's the case, you know, we'll be able to obviously bring back a player in the minor leagues that we'd like. And the other part of that is, you know, it frees up a roster spot for us and allows us to have a little more flexibility, you know, the last 2 months of the season.
Coming out of a spring training, Dayton, everybody was really positive, and I think I really fell for this team when I heard Mike Matheny come on with us and you speak and the players speak, and they were very, very competent. Obviously, the start was great. We've had the lull, and now not necessarily in the mix. I'm kind of curious how the sell can be next year, because if I'm not alone, I'm sure, and like I fell really hard for this team coming out and it didn't pan out. And now kind of the pressure's on for a good portion of this group to come firing out next year. I guess, how do you sell to the fan base it is going to be different next year when they get out of the blocks?
Well, let me say this. I mean, I share the same emotions. I mean, I've been extremely disappointed in our one loss record, and when you look at why and how, I mean, it's easy to pinpoint you know, how this has occurred, but you can't make excuses. At the end of the day, you know, we're paid to win baseball games, but this team, as we entered spring training and left spring training, certainly on paper was a team that we all felt would compete. The baseball world felt that this team would compete, and it speaks to the unpredictability of professional baseball. I mean, there's a lot of teams each and every year that, you know, everybody doesn't expect to do well, and somebody steps up and gets on a run and exceeds expectations. And so, you know, it's my job and our job as an organization, as we all know, is to put players together that want to win for one another, win for our city, and want to play baseball and compete through ups and downs, injuries, overcome multiple things. But when I look at our team, I mean, there's not a ton that you're going to need to do, at least on paper. I mean, we're going to do our best to improve the bullpen and depth in the bullpen. We're going to expect you know, some of our young starters to continue to evolve and get better. We're going to hopefully be able to transition a position player or two into this lineup next year. We're going to get a little bit younger. We're going to have a little more speed on this team, and we're going to expect you know, the veterans like Whit Merrifield and Carlos Santana and Salvador Perez and Hunter Dozier to be better and to stay consistent and to keep things you know, in balance, if you will. You know, I think that we're gonna be disciplined with what we do, but we're gonna rely on young players, Josh, that are going to come up and be better.
Dayton, speaking of, you know, getting players better, Mondi obviously has been a guy that has been banged up a lot through his career. How do you build going for 2022? How do you fit Mondi into that? Can you rely on somebody that's been injured so much over the course of his career?
No, you can't. I mean, and we love Mondi to death, but I think it would be, as you put together this team, it's very similar. It's different situations, okay? But, you know, when we were putting our team together back in the early days, I mean, we had to put the team together as if, you know, Zach Greinke may not be a part of it. You just didn't know. And if he is, it's a bonus. And so I think when we look at Mondi, we're going to expect him to be healthy. We're going to be positive about that. But he's proven that it's just not, you know, he hasn't been able to do that. And so, you know, I think when we put this team together, we look at it and it's like, holy cow, if Mondi's healthy and he's a part of the team, it's going to be really, really exciting. It's going to be really, really powerful in a lot of different ways, defensively, offensively, speed-wise. I mean, there's a lot he can do. But I think we're learning that we're going to have to manage his workloads in ways that, you know, he may not be a guy that plays, you know, more than 100 games a year, best case scenario. And hopefully he exceeds that expectation. But as somebody who's responsible for putting together a 26-man roster, we've got to look at ways to, supplement and perhaps, be more balanced as if he's not, a part of it. And if he is, that's great. And we're not going to release him. We're going to continue to stay with him, obviously. But, we've got to make sure we put that roster together in a ways that certainly protect us.
So almost like a luxury then going into next year for Mondi.
Well, I think that's how you have to look at it, Bob. I mean, is he a part of what we're doing? Of course he is. Are we going to continue to do everything that we know to do to support him? Of course we are. But we have to be just wise as we put together this roster. And, we've got to make sure that we can't obviously count on him as an everyday player.
All right, another edition of Tell Bob Why He's Wrong, Dayton. Are you ready for this one?
Yep.
All right. I think with the new CBA that's being out there right now, the most important issue is to expand the playoffs, because you look around baseball now, and before the trade deadline, like half of the teams and cities in baseball were already eliminated. Do you think that's something that they are going to address, expanding the postseason, keeping more teams and cities and fan bases interested after the trade deadline?
Yeah, I hope so. I'm not privy to exactly what they're discussing, but I think we saw, last year, it was exciting, and I think it's certainly what fans want. I think players want that. Front offices want that. I mean, I don't know why we wouldn't, agree to something like that in the future. I just think it makes a lot of sense for many, many reasons.
No doubt. Well, Dayton, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate what you do.
You got it, man. Take care. Dayton Moore, Royals general manager, with us here on 610 Sports Radio.